stance. The dice roll every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while. We'll roll in that D percentile.
It's fun when you know the players are really reading the rules. So halfling players or potential halfling players are asking for the upcoming Old School Essentials campaign, are we using group initiative or individual initiative? This is of course because in the halfling description you're told that if you're using the optional individual initiative variant, a halfling gets +1 to initiative because they're a little bit faster or more agile. Now I'm definitely going with group initiative. For a start, that was one of the things I think when I read my first Old School rules set, it was probably Basic Fantasy, that was the thing I was surprised by. I was surprised by group initiative. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And it's always been to me a distinctive feature of the Old School experience. I didn't really use it before my Dark Sun campaign, but I find it really useful in online play. It's really useful just to say, right, you've won initiative, and now read around the screen for what order players going. More on that in a moment. But anyway, I'm using group initiative. So then I immediately said, oh, but don't worry, if you can come up with a good reason why, then I suppose the halflings bonus can be applied to the whole group, because I thought, oh, it just seems a bit unfair, doesn't it, that the halfling would have a bonus which only applies when you use the variant rules. You feel a little bit swindled having it there in the class description. And I thought, well, What good reason are you going to come up with? I suppose you could say on those occasions when the halfling rolls initiative. Now, of course, different tables are going to have different understandings about who rolls initiative when. So for one, I thought, well, I tend to ask the player who has initiated combat or been surprised or whatever to roll initiative. So you could say when the halfling is clearly initiating something, they roll initiative. But that's perhaps not going to apply very often. I thought maybe if the halfling's sort of directing combat, but it doesn't really make sense to transfer the halfling's quick reflexes to the rest of the players just because the halfling is giving them instructions. And how often really is the halfling going to be the one directing combat? And then I thought, no, why don't I just say, yeah, go on, if you've got the halfling in your group, you'll get a +1 to your group initiative role. I immediately then said, no, it doesn't stack for all the other players. I said, can it stack if I'm a halfling too? No, there's just one +1 going. But actually, I think there's a good justification for this. Other games do this quite well. Dungeon Crawl Classics has the halfling able to spend luck on other characters to capture that idea of the halfling being lucky or a mascot. So I'm applying a lucky halfling interpretation to the halfling's initiative bonus. So if you've got a halfling in your group, you get a +1 to your initiative rolls, whoever's rolling them, because halflings are lucky. Oh, the weather's broken. We've had thunder and rain all night. Lovely. There was another scorch yesterday. I had to travel on the train. That was a bit unpleasant. When I first encountered group initiative, it really bugged me. I was coming out of 5th edition, having played a lot of 3rd edition, and I couldn't get over the fact that it had nothing to do really with the players' abilities. But I'm over that now, especially in online play, because it's, as I said before, it's just so nice to be able to say, right, this is where we are in the initiative order, and then just read round the screen for who goes in what order. However, when you look in Old School Essentials, rules as written say that your turns go off in a particular order. So I think it's ranged, magic, melee, slow weapons are different. Slow weapons, you act as if you'd lost initiative. So all the slow weapons go at the end, regardless of who won initiative. Now, that to me seems like unnecessary detail. You know, now that the group's going together, I'm not sure if I need to know that it's in the order of ranged, magic, and melee. I'm keeping the slow weapons, I like that. But as I say, that happens, it'll happen at the end of your turn if you lost the initiative, or it'll happen after your opponent's. So definitely keeping that. But then I thought, well, that's too much verisimilitude for me, and I'd much rather just read around the screen, have turn order. Except that turn order does get broken anyway, because the players quite rightly say, oh, we want to do some tactics, right? So the wizard wants to get a spell off, and then the other players want to react to that. So I do allow the players to go off, you know, to their actions to go off in a different order, or for them to hold, even though it's much easier for me to just read round the screen. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to allow something like a hold or allowing the actions to go off in whatever order the players want, then I suppose having that further rule that it's ranged, magic and melee does make some sense. There's only so much of an order that you can jumble about with. Although I'm not sure if I want to stick to that pretty particularly, because, you know, the if you've won initiative, all of your actions are going off before your opponents. If you lost initiative, all of your actions are going off after the opponents. Does it make sense, even from a verisimilitude, to give a little bit of advantage to the ranged characters who can get their attacks off more quickly? And wouldn't you want to let the ranged characters hold if it made sense for them to see how a spell had gone before they loosed their shot? You know, you don't want to penalise them and not let them hold because they are able to get a shot off so much more quickly. So I'm in two minds about whether I'm going to use that part of the rules, whether it just introduces complexity that I don't want or need. Other old editions do this differently. My White Box Fantastic Medieval Adventures I really like, because you roll group initiative round by round, same as in old school essentials, but then you do the actions in each of those phases in initiative order one by one. So rather than saying, right, your turn's one initiative, now it goes off in the order of ranged, magic and melee, we say, right, so you've won initiative, now we do it in the phases. I think it goes magic, range, melee, because I think in White Box you spend a turn preparing the spell and then it goes off straight away at the start of the next turn. So I think in White Box it's magic, ranged, melee. But what happens is then you do your magic phase and the initiative winners act first and the losers act next. Then you do your ranged phase and then you do your melee phase and the initiative winners act first and their opponents act second. Now I like that. If you want the verisimilitude, that seems quite nice. That's a bit of a faff for me, I think, in online play. It's not offered as a variant in old school essentials anyway. So I'm in two minds about that. I like group initiative in online play. I'm happy to do that round by round. I got a little bit frustrated with King of Dungeons rolling everybody's initiative round by round. That just, in online play, I think that just slows things down. It's a little bit fiddly. Yeah, I think if you're going to do round-by-round initiative, really, it needs to be group initiative. Then I like what that introduces. I like that possibility that you've just sustained a whole bunch of attacks and then you have to bear another bunch before you can act again. I like that. It introduces a bit of tactical variation into the game. But it just then seems to me that perhaps the verisimilitude of saying that there's an order that attacks go off within round by round group initiative just doesn't seem necessary in old school essentials. But I can see how that would interact with whatever rules you might want to introduce around your table about whether you could hold actions and so on. But I think I'm going to ignore that order and tend to just go in the order that players are on my screen, unless the players say, oh, here's the order we want to go in, you know, we want to wait and see how this goes off before we do anything else. And of course, keep slow weapons, because slow weapons do more damage. It seems like it's fun for that to have a cost. So slow weapons always go at the end. I can see myself, even with that, forgetting to apply it, or forgetting people's turns and so on. But I think if I introduce then that ranged magic melee order within the group initiative, that's just going to be a little bit too much complexity. Second thoughts, maybe I'm having second thoughts listening back, because one might say, if one was concerned with verisimilitude, I'm not always really, but if one was, one might say, well, look, all this discussion at the start of each round the players do, look, if you do that, oh, I best go last, because then we can see how many, you know, that manages to turn or put to sleep, and then we'll then we'll decide who we're going to attack. You might say, well, that can't really go on in combat. The best is that as someone, you know, whacks the orc they're fighting, they might be able to shout something to somebody else. So maybe if you said, maybe if you said it wasn't just about speed, maybe if it was about the fact that you're your ranged attackers and your magic users, by virtue of the nature of their attack, are differently related to the combat. So your ranged attacker can't get off a ranged attack if they're engaged in melee anyway. So they're likely to be stepped back a bit from the combat, looking on, picking their targets. So maybe it makes sense if you said, right, ranged attackers first. So the ranged attacker could do their attack and at the same time communicate some tactical thoughts to the next player. And then similarly with magic, you know, you're not going to tend to have an orc right on top of you if you're casting a spell. So again, you might, as you're gathering power, be able to sort of look around, pass on a bit of a tactical thought. And then your melee fight as well, you know, they're right pressed in. Yeah, it doesn't really work, does it? Because your melee fighter might well want to move an attack, in which case they've got just the same advantage, really, as the ranged attacker. Just a thought, really, that maybe that order might act as a restriction on that kind of unrealistic tactical banter that goes on at the start of the player's turns. Depending on whether you want to restrict that or not. Sometimes I think for speed, it might be nice to have, you know, to have some kind of set order that implies, you know, what players are going to be able to react to and what they're going to be surprised by, even by their companions' actions. But then it doesn't really make sense to say that if I'm going to keep it strictly, that is simply the order that they're sat around the table or that they appear on my screen. Although, I take that back. He goes to the shelf. He pulls down the rules tome. Actually, that is covered in the order that things go off. Movement happens first. Everybody's movement happens first, then missiles, then magic, then melee. So, yeah, that bit where your melee fighter is gonna move in and then do their melee attack is actually covered. Mind you, all it does is it moves the tactical discussion, because now people have the tactical discussion before movement, which happens in each case. You know, that all happens at the same time. So for that, you need to determine an order. So, I mean, I'm not personally worried about limiting that sort of tactical chat, which can go on for some minutes, of course, in a momentary combat round. I'm not too bothered about limiting that. The players enjoy it. But I was offering it as maybe a justification for why you would then bother having the actions go off in a previously determined order. You know, since the whole group is acting at the same time, yeah, that is my conclusion. It doesn't seem necessary in Old School Essentials to then say strictly missile, magic, melee. Seems like any order within that would be fine. But I can understand perhaps what's going on there. I think it makes more sense when they are phases within the round. So magic goes off in initiative order, then ranged, then melee, as some other editions do it. Although, having said all of this, I'd want to flip it on its head anyway, if I was having those considerations. I can't remember what game I'm thinking of, but there's one game where, you know, initiative determines how you declare your actions. And I think you declare in reverse initiative order, something like that. So that obviously the person who's won initiative gets the most information to act on, because they've got more wherewithal. I can't remember. I'm getting that wrong. But you know, having said, you know, the melee fighters, if they're going last, have got maximal information to work on. They've seen everything that's gone on. Perhaps it would make more sense to have them go first, because, you know, they're in the they're in the thick of things. they you know, they've only got their own action to respond to. You know, there's them and their opponent. They whack it, and maybe it makes more sense to have the quicker, more distanced opponents, to have them have time to actually read the situation and respond to it. So perhaps it should all go off in the reverse order anyway. I've thought myself into a bit of a spiral here. It doesn't matter, because for my game, I'm going to do group initiative by turn, plus one if you've got a halfling, and then unless the players say otherwise, I'm just going to read around my screen. But I'm just trying to think of justification for having that ranged then melee. Sorry, ranged then magic then melee. And it, yeah, it gets you into all kinds of convolutions trying to justify it.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter at d_percentile.